Hi, I'm Donna. I'm a recovered alcoholic.
Hi, Donna.
And tonight I'm going to share my experiences with steps 7, 8, and 9. Since we're on step 7, I have to do the 7-step prayer, and please join if you care to. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. I never move right into 8 after taking my 7-step prayer, because what I saw in the 4th step and what I further saw in the 5th step after reading my inventory to my sponsor, I was able to see how asleep I was to my behavior. I got a chance to see how my self-will defects blocked me off from God and God's power working in and through me. So in the 7th step, I realized I had to ask myself, am I willing to aim towards change by God's grace? I do not have the power to change me, because I had behaved what I saw in my inventory. That's how I was. Last week I shared with you what my defects look like, and it was a laundry list of manipulation, being judgmental, being unaccountable, being a liar, being a cheat, because this is how I behaved to get my way. And I was able to see that those behaviors were not serving me any purpose, because I saw all it did was harm others, harm myself, keep me in a state of fear. So when I was in the 7th step, every time after my 5th step, I had such a powerful experience that I was able to see when these defects cropped up that I immediately felt blocked off from other people and from God's power. I don't know about anybody else, but I really was awakened to that. I'm going to read something to you that was passed on to me, and I found it very powerful. I'm not the author of this. When God removes our self-will defects, he replaces them with his own characteristics. So in step 7, I ask God to remove my shortcomings. And being humble means being aware of my limitations. Being a servant of God is the highest attainment of AA. We aim to be a servant of God. When we're transformed, this is about a transformation. I didn't get this through osmosis. I didn't get this by sitting in the rooms and having somebody stand up here and share their experiences and think that I didn't have to do any work on my own. I don't mean changing on my own, but doing the work on my own. Our needs are met. So when we're transformed, our needs are met on the inside. We don't need to go out and get anything to get fixed. We simply move through life looking for ways to be of service to God. We go through whatever it takes to become God-centered. We have to go through pain of often not getting our way and have the willingness to go through this transforming discomfort. Spirituality is about changing our attitude about pain and discomfort. The transformation is just on the other side of the willingness of not getting our way. I go through the pain because I trust my higher power and I'm willing to go to any length. I found that's what happens to me in the 7th step when I am awakened to these behaviors that I find that I don't really need anymore. If I'm not in self-will, I can just pray and trust God and let the world do its thing, and I don't have to step in and make things happen, because I find that anytime I think that I have any power of making anything happen, I'm usually doing one or two things. I'm manipulating, I'm scheming, I'm planning. And when I'm still, I find it very uncomfortable. It's like my ego doesn't know what to do. It's so used to getting in shit, getting in stuff, that it's very discomforting for me. But I find the last time I went through the work, it was very painful because I was able to see a big chunk of truth about myself, and it was very uncomfortable being awakened to that. And I knew that I just had to have the willingness and persevere and go through the work. And it's amazing what God has done in and through me. It seems like that was so long ago, that whole experience. So I usually, before I write my 8-step list, I have an experience with 7. I remember I was on the subway, and I wrote a screenplay. And I'm on the train, and I had my laptop, and there's a woman that sat down next to me. So my belief was that, you know, this woman, I don't know her, but my mind was telling me that, oh, she's a writer. And so I, like, all of a sudden, I became judgmental. I didn't want to open up my lap book. I thought, judge me. And in that moment, I was awakened to what happens. So I was able to be still, pray, and realize that one of my defects is I worry about what people think. I don't think I'm worthy. And what happens is when I give up my life, then God gives me the life that He wants me to have. And so I'm limited in my own vision of myself. You know, I've always lived a life of mediocrity because my mind couldn't see beyond mediocrity. And if I say that I'm not willing to give stuff up, then I'm not really trusting God's vision and His power in my life. The things that are happening in my life today, I would have never thought that possible. And I'm not one to stand here and give you my accolades of what's going on in my life materialistically and my relationships with my family. But there have been some major changes that I knew on my own, my mind wouldn't let me see it. So I have to trust that God, the God who created me, knows how He wants me to be. And I tell you, one of the things that I realized that I never felt worthy. I can stand here today and tell you that I know that God created a wonderful, loving, bright child, me. You know, it says in the 3rd step, in how it works, we must let go of these old ideals absolutely or the result was nil. I had to let go of all these ideals I had about myself that I couldn't measure up. And it translated in my relationships. You know, I was dating guys that, you know, were struggling. I'm helping them. I'm giving them my last 20. Because I'm thinking that's the best that I can do. And plus, I don't want you to leave me because I thought I needed them for me to be okay. Again, I was out there looking for things to fix me, and I realized that I'm okay right here, right now. So I have this experience in 7. I become awakened to how I no longer want to be because it's not serving me any purpose, and I can see that because I have a whole lot of people on my 8-step list because of my behavior. I have a lot of institutions that I owe money to. I became current on my amends. I had one last amends that I thought I would never be able to make, and that's to the IRS. I owe $57,000 to the IRS. That's including penalties. I was just telling 3 people in the fellowship that when I got my first job out of treatment, I was in 9-step amends, and I knew that that money wasn't my money yet. And I felt that God gave me that job, number one, so I can pay my amends. I was gung-ho work. I did not stay in the rooms of AA just being a meeting maker. As soon as I came into the rooms, I heard people share differently than a lot of other people, and these were people that had gone through the work. And a woman approached me and asked me, was I willing to go to any length never to drink again? And I said yes, and while I was in treatment, I was sitting in a big book workshop every weekend. When people were going to have quality time with their significant others, I was sitting in a big book workshop. So I have my list. I pray on it. Some were more difficult than others to make. I consulted with my sponsor because some of the harms were really in my mind. I hadn't actually did anything to some people, so I needed some clarity. Someone had told me that when I'm in 9-step amends, that people are going to start appearing, and boy, did they start appearing, people that I couldn't find. There were some guys that I couldn't make amends to. I lived in South Bend, Indiana for about 10 years. I did a geographic move. People go, Donna, you're in South Bend. Yes, I was. And I slunk. I don't know if slunk is a word, but I slunk out of South Bend in the dead of night. I was thinking about this on the Long Island Railroad. By the way, the Long Island Railroad is a wonderful ride if you're facing the sunset. That's just beautiful to watch. And I was just reminding myself how I was living. I was living in this town, and I dated like 3 drug dealers at the same time until they said, you know, Donna, you're such a nice girl. We have to stop, you know, feeding you. And I'm saying to myself, why do you think I'm dating you? And so I knew that I couldn't go back to these guys and make amends. So, and I did make an attempt for a lot of people, but the men that I couldn't find, I used a surrogate. I used a guy in the fellowship who I knew understood what I was doing, and I read him the harm I caused men. And after I finished, I asked him how what I did to these men told me. If those guys were ever to pass in my path, would I be willing to make a one-on-one, an actual amends? Yes, I would. But I knew that I was willing to go to any length, and I was willing to share it with someone. I know of people who cheated on married. They cheated. But there are ways to make amends. You can use surrogates if it depends on your sponsor. My sponsor didn't have a problem with me doing that. I went back to South Bend, Indiana, and I went to my employers. One employer asked me, was I in AA? He asked me, you know, did I have a drinking problem? And I said I did. And I owed a lot of money. And so I gave people money orders because it really wasn't any of my business if they deposited check. You're here. You know, you do what you with it. You know, I didn't need to know. There was one amends that was very powerful. I left owing my landlord a lot of money, and he was surprised to hear from me. And he said, well, you know, if you can pay me in the next 7 days, I'll drop the legal proceedings. And I think I owed him like $2,500. And of course, you know, self-will, I'm like, well, maybe I can pay him like $1,000. And I had the money, and this is what a good sponsor's for. It's like, Donna, do you have the money? Yes. Can you afford to part with it? Yes. Well, then make the amends. And that's what I did. And we communicated by email, and he says, Donna, you know, this is amazing. He says, number one, I didn't think I'd ever hear from you again, and I just want you to know that this check is coming in very handy. And I paid him by check. And I just got ripped off for somebody who I had given money to paint the exterior of one of the buildings that I owe. So this money that you're giving me is right on time. And that's like these wonderful things, you know, that happened to me. There was another time that I tried to buy furniture, and I went online, and I went as far as hitting Bend, but I didn't feel comfortable about buying something for myself. And so I went and I got my amends cards out, and I realized that there were some financial amends that I hadn't made. Some that had cropped up that weren't on my original financial amends list, so I you know, made those. And there was one woman, Karen Washington, who I couldn't find. And I had wrote a letter, and I put it in the last place that I knew that she, not knowing if she still lived there. But I get a call from my sister saying, guess what? I got a call from Karen. She's going to be at St. John's the Divine at a trunk show. Now, my amends to Karen, when I lived in Indiana, she's a fabulous scarf designer. And she had given me these fabulous silk scarves to sell. Of course, the alcoholic I was. I kept the scarves, didn't pay her the money, and didn't send the scarves back. So I go to St. John's of the Vine, and I see this woman sitting in the corner. Now she has dreads down to here, but it's been that long. And I was so moved, and I looked at her, and I said, I've been trying to find you. I owe you money. And I had a checkbook. You know, I wasn't going to put myself in a situation that I you know, was going to pay beyond my means what I could afford. So, you know, some of the amends that were large sums of money, I went on payment plans. I remember I got my credit report, and it was like a roadmap, so I had to sit down and figure out, you know, who owned the account, because I was so slow to pay that they would give it to another account, give it to another account, give it to another account. So I got a pen, and this was all by God's grace and God's power, because I was not one to do any of this on my own. I didn't have the courage because I worried too much about what was going to happen to me, and I had to realize no matter what, I'd be okay. So my last amends was the IRS, $57,000, and I said, you know what, by God's grace, I'm going to go in, and I'm now working with a company that is working on my behalf, and that's going to be resolved. I was a freelancer, and back in the 80s, and you know, I was not taking any part of this money out and put towards my taxes. So when they were paying me $2,500 a month, that was get-high money. You know, willingness is so key in all of this. I don't know why I didn't balk. I just knew that I didn't want to be how I was. I knew that the alcohol was just a symptom. I started to see that I really wasn't this great big such a much that I thought I was. I can now say that I feel worthy and I feel deserving. And these are qualities about myself that I never felt. I can stand here in front of you and feel very comfortable, very sure of myself. I feel very connected. I could never do this. So something happened to me as a result of the willingness and realizing that I want to be free. And the most amazing thing is that we don't do this for ourselves. You know, God can't come down booming voice and give people hope and support. It needs us. It's amazing. I go to the gym a lot, and there's so many women that are in the gym that are not, maybe they are part of the fellowship, I don't know, but there's always somebody who God puts in my path who I have something that I can share. And to me, that's why I do this. I can give hope to somebody. There's a lot of spiritually sick people that are hurting. And we are so grateful to have this program. I mean, I don't go and tell them, well, I went through the 12 steps. I say, I've been on this spiritual journey. And I had to die to self because my thinking mind lies to me. You know, I work with others and they stop doing the work. It's like, why are we still being selfish? This is not about me doing the work. It's about me being a servant of God so that I can be a soldier and I can be of service and help other people. When I always get to this place that I have stopped, then it means I'm done. Thank you for letting me share.